This morning, God's Word comes to us from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 18 and then read through verse 25 of this chapter. Romans 1, beginning at verse 18, what we hear now is God's Word. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter once again to Lord's Day 47. That is on page 60 in this Psalter. Lord's Day 47. And this morning I will read for you question and answer 122. Lord's Day 47. Regarding the Lord's Prayer, question 122 asks, what does the first request mean? And the answer, hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Well, this morning we continue our study of the Lord's Prayer, that prayer taught us by Christ Himself, a prayer that we noticed last week acknowledges a relationship between us and God. We speak to Him as our Father who is in heaven. And we talked last week as well about the fact that the prayer is given to us with a particular structure to it. There are two sets of three petitions each. And this morning we look at the first request, the first petition, hallowed be thy name. You know, I think when I was growing up, I didn't recognize that this was a petition of the Lord's Prayer. I thought we were making a declaration. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is, your name is holy. And it was a statement about God. But with more instruction and reflection and looking at the catechism as well, we see that this is a request. Not a declaration that we make about who God is, but a prayer on behalf of God. A prayer that His name would be hallowed, that His name would be kept holy. And it is in that light that we look at the first request, the first petition this morning. A petition for the holiness of God's name that prays on behalf of God, but that affects how we live. Our confession says, hallowed be thy name means help us to really know you. Help us to know you. How do we know God? Well, it is not difficult. Romans 1 reminds us, God has revealed himself to us plainly. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. It is not difficult to know God. He reveals himself to us in creation. As one children's song says, God's fingerprints are everywhere. All we have to do is to look around us with the eyes of faith and see the glory, the majesty, the power of our God. We see God's glory, God's invisible attributes, his power, his divine nature in the order, in the structure of creation. God has placed order and structure and pattern in the world around us. We have summer, we have fall, we have winter, we have spring, and it starts all over again. God has placed a pattern. God has placed a structure in the world. We have planting time. We have growing time. We have harvest time. We have rest time. God has put a structure in creation. It speaks about his orderliness, about his very nature. That God is a God of cosmos, of order, not a God of chaos. We look at creation and we see the glory of God around us. Help us to really know you. Children, you can walk outside today and look at creation and you can know something of the power of God. Just look at the way you were created. Think about the creation of your body. And the perfection and the order and the structure God has put there. Children, you have what is called an opposable thumb. You can move your thumb. Now imagine if you couldn't. In fact, go home today at the lunch table and try to pick up your spoon or your fork without using your thumb. Well, if mom says it's okay. Okay, ask first. But you will see how beautifully your hand is put together, because without an opposable thumb, it is very difficult to pick things up and to use them. God has put a sense of structure in our bodies. Have you ever thought about the fact that you have eyes that face forward at the top of your head? What if your eyes were on your feet? You would walk around and you wouldn't really see far away. What if God had not put your ears, instead of at the side of your head facing forward, what if he had put your ears on your back? And to listen to someone, you have to turn around and say, speak up. God has put structure. We are beautifully made. Perfectly ordered. Just look at your body. And we see that God is a God of order. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature are clearly perceived from what is around us. God has revealed himself to us. And yet I said to see that we must look with the eyes of faith. For so often, the world, confronted with the very same truth, exchanges that truth for a lie. Verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And then verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. The world exchanges the truth, exchanges the revelation, exchanges the glory of God in creation for a lie, and begins to find other reasons, other ways to think about the world, other understandings of what's going on around us, rather than God is in control and has put his structure in creation. They suppress the truth. They exchange the truth for a lie. They exchange the truth for a lie. The world would tell us they exchange the truth for a different understanding of truth. they would say, look, you can look at the world this way, you can look at God this way, or here's an alternate understanding, just as valid, just as true. But the Bible says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Rather than acknowledging God as the Creator God who made everything, the world would tell us, you know, it's okay to worship God as you understand Him. And if that is Yahweh of the Jewish religion, if that is Allah of the Muslims, if that is Eastern philosophy and Confucius or Buddha, it's all good. Because all of us are getting to the same point. We exchange one truth for a different truth. God says, they exchange the truth for a lie. To know God is to know the true God. Not the God as you conceive Him. Not the God that fits your understanding of the world. But the God of the Scriptures. When we pray, hallowed be your name, help us to know you, O God. The one true God. Who is the Creator of everything. Who has revealed yourself in creation. Who has revealed yourself in His Word. Help us to know you, O God. And not to exchange the truth for a lie. We see that even in terms of practices in worship. We had the blessing of a Christian baptism this morning. The sign and the seal of God's covenant given to Eli. Some would exchange that truth for a pitiful resemblance called a dedication. And we say, well, what's the big deal? After all, it's kind of the same thing. It's not the same thing. Baptism is an expression of God's love and God's mercy to us and to our children. God is the actor in baptism. Dedication is something that we do. I have made the wonderful choice to dedicate my child to God. They are diametrically opposed. They have exchanged the truth of God about the nature of our children for a lie. This morning we saw Christian baptism, the sign and the seal given to us by God, not by our own invention. Help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you. That's our prayer. That God's name be hallowed by our knowledge of Him and His instruction for us with regard to worship. And knowing God, we are called to honor Him as God. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Knowing God, we must give glory to God and honor Him as the one who is in control. God has allowed great advancements in technology. We think of the way hospitals run nowadays and all the machines and all the diagnostic tests and all the things that can help us to tell what's wrong with us. But the world says, look how great we are. Look at the tests we've come up with. Look at the machine we've developed. Rather than how great a God who has worked in technology, who has worked in culture to allow these advancements to take place. Although they knew Him as God, they did not honor Him as God. Our prayer, hallowed be your name, means help us to honor you, O God. As we see you active in the culture, in the technology around us. We think of the blessings of education. We're surrounded by education. And yet we don't put our hope in education. But in the God who instructs us, in the God who teaches us, the God who guides and directs us to know more about Him and about His world in light of His Word. We see the glories of creation around us on a beautiful spring morning, and yet we don't gather this morning to give thanks to Mother Nature. But we give thanks to God, the Creator of all that there is. Help us to know you and honor you
although they knew God, they did not honor Him. We are to worship not the creature, but the Creator. Not what we see around us, but the One who made all that we see around us. Not technology, but the One who is Lord of technology. We are to worship in a way that honors the Creator and not the creature. And we're not to worship in creaturely ways either. Worship in ways that would highlight creation as opposed to highlighting God. We worship this morning in very plain surroundings. There's something appropriate about that. Children, what do you see as you look up front? You see a pulpit. A pulpit, a place where God's Word is opened. You see a baptismal font, a place where the means of grace is dispensed. You are not distracted by all kinds of images and other things around us. There's something very appropriate about recognizing God's glory in creation, but not worshiping in creaturely ways. Worshiping in God's ways. Acknowledging what He thinks is important in worship. The declaration of His Word, the administration of the sacraments. How careful we have to be not to exchange the truth that we know, not to fail to honor God, but begin to honor the things that He made by highlighting them in our worship service rather than highlighting God. We had a baptism in obedience to God. Not to highlight the parents, not to highlight the grandparents or the rest of the family, but to highlight God and what He has done in being merciful to us and to our children. God is to be honored by giving Him the glory and by giving Him the thanks. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but God calls forth the thanksgiving from His people. Thanksgiving for what He has made. Thanksgiving for what He has done. For as glorious as creation is, as wonderful it is that God has made all things, He has revealed Himself beyond that. Not only as great Creator, but also as powerful Redeemer. And we find that in His holy Word. And the pulpit is here to remind us that this is where the answers are found. That God has revealed to us the fact that He did not leave fallen man in their sinful condition, but He sent His one and only Son to come to earth, to die on the cross, to save us from our sins. His blood poured out for us. And we are washed by that blood and cleansed. And that's what baptism speaks about as well. That just like we see that water, knowing that water cleanses the external, so the power of God by His Spirit cleanses us internally. This morning it was an expression of obedience and thanksgiving that the parents bring their child forward for baptism. Thanksgiving for the blessings of the covenant that God includes us and our children. The prayer, "Hallowed be Your name," is a prayer that we might know God, a prayer that we might honor God, and a prayer that we might do that in very specific and worked out ways that we might live for God. Our confession says, "Help us to direct our living, what we think and say and do, so that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised." It's more than knowing about God. It's more than honoring God. It is actually living. This prayer, to honestly pray, "Hallowed be Your name," will affect us and how we live. It will affect us and the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think. It affects the things that we do, our actions, the way that we treat those around us. The prayer, "Hallowed be Thy name," living for God, affects our relationships. This morning is Mother's Day. And kids, I hope you went to Mom and gave her a great big hug today and said, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom, I love you." But you know what? I hope you do that every day. That every day, you live in a way that brings honor to God and honor to His name. That you don't show love to Mom one day of the year and the rest of the year you kind of ignore her. but that today is just one more day when you show your mother that you love her, that you care for her, that by your actions you are trying to honor God, honor His name, and honor the mother He has given to you. May our actions show that we are living for God. Help us to direct all our living, the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we speak, that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us. There's an intimate connection between this petition of the Lord's Prayer and the commandment about blaspheming God's name. That we not speak in a way that dishonors God. That the stories that we tell, that the jokes that we tell, not bring dishonor to His name, but honor. That Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised by the things that we don't say, by the things that we do say. Publicly speaking out for the name of God, acknowledging Him as Creator, as Redeemer, as our God. Not just somebody else's God, but that He is our God. And we, in the things that we say, will try to live for Him. Living for God in our actions, living for God in our words, living for God even in our thoughts. And maybe sometimes that's the most difficult. There are sins that we might believe we would never do. There are sins that we might never even say out loud and speak of. But we will harbor them in our minds. We will keep them in our thoughts. And we will rehearse those thoughts and roll over those thoughts and return to those thoughts again and again and again. And in doing so, God's name is not hallowed. In fact, in our thoughts, God's name is blasphemed, not honored or praised. To pray the prayer, "Hallowed be Your name," is a difficult prayer. It is a serious prayer. That everything about me be given over to the honoring, the hallowing of the name of our God. Not just what people can see, the things that I do. Not just people can hear the things that I say. But even the very thoughts of my mind, that they might be transformed. That God's name be hallowed. That it never be blasphemed because of us. How many times haven't we said the Lord's Prayer without thinking? Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. It's a serious petition. It's a petition that seeks to honor God, but does so by changing me and my life and my words and my thoughts. May God help all of us on this Lord's Day, if we have not in the past, to begin to hallow God's name more seriously. Perhaps that is through acknowledging Him for the first time, acknowledging that He is the God, the Creator, and also my Redeemer. And that if we know Him, it is the prayer, O God, by the power of Your Spirit, help me to help Your name to be holy in what I do, in what I say, in what I think. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Help us, O God, to know You and to have a desire to know You more fully every day. To have a desire to bless You, to worship You, to praise You for all of Your works. You have revealed Yourself so beautifully in creation and so clearly in Your Word. Lord God, make us good students of that Word. And learning about You, help us to honor You. Not honor ourselves, not make ourselves look good for what we have learned, but honor You, the One who has instructed us. And then, Lord God, by the power of Your Spirit, work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our thoughts, our words, our actions, that we might reflect more and more the glory of who You are, the greatness of Your majesty, that Your name would never be blasphemed because of us, but that You truly might be honored. and you truly might be praised. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.